Malachi 3. This is going to be ever so brief. I will introduce the subject and give you an assignment to see if you can find the verses in the will of God that I will bring in detail to you next week. And from this portion, we're going to consider the intervention of God into the affairs of man. The intervention of God into the affairs of man. You say, in what way? Well, that's what we're going to see in these 2 weeks. But right now, let's look at verse 7. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 9. You are cursed with the curse, for you rob me, even this whole nation. Bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, thou art he who controls the elements. We are thankful that thou didst control them, and a handful was able to come and think on thy Son. We thank you for that. And now we would briefly look into thy word. We have lifted up our voices to praise thee, to thank thee, to speak well of thy Son. And now, Father, we would listen to thy voice through thy servant. Cleanse from sin. Give us profitable time together, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. From the portion that I've been telling you about in past weeks, the basic things are these. First of all, God tells them that they are away from him and they are to return unto him. You are away, you return unto me, and God says, I will return unto you. And then he says, since they are away from him, look at verse 9, you are cursed with the curse. All right. They're away from God, and because they are away from God, they are cursed with the curse. Remember, even the chosen people of God are dealt with in an adverse way when they are away from their God. I've been telling you the same thing on Wednesday nights, that our conduct influences the way that God deals with us. And he tells us that. He said, return unto me, I will return unto you. He tells them how they should return unto him. And he says, since you are away from me, you are cursed with a curse. Now, he explains to them just what he means by return unto me. He says in verse 10, bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's what they are to do. Not to speak words of emotion and words of promise, like the one who said, yes, I will go and work in your vineyard, but did not go. But God says, bring you the whole tithe into the storehouse. Not say to God, I will bring it, but bring it. All right, that is returning unto God. And when they do, let's see the threefold outcome. The Lord challenges them. He says that if they do that, prove him now, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not, and now he's going to do three things for them. I will open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits. And verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed. Blessed or happy, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. All right. This is the intervention of God into the affairs of man. This has to do with those that are God's people. He also intervenes in the affairs of the nations. He controls the nations. But here he's speaking about his own people. And when they depart from him, God does not remain passive in heaven, but God reacts and he intervenes in their lives. He says, you are cursed with the curse. The God who blessed them as slaves in Egypt, when they departed from him, cursed them with the curse. And I will tell you about this curse, and I want you to read later, not now, but during the week. You may read in detail the curse that God spoke of concerning the nation of Israel, the curse and the blessing in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And so he says, you are cursed with the curse. That is the general curse, but look in chapter 2 at the specific curse. In chapter 2, verse 1, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, then will I send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Do you see again? God gives a commandment, and he says, right now it is in suspension. But if you do not hearken unto me, I will curse you with the curse. Now, what curse is that talking about? Look at verse 3. I have to give you a little explanation so you can figure this out. Behold, I will rebuke your seed. That's the word. You find this word translated even in your King James to reprove and rebuke most of the time. And so it says, I will rebuke your seed and will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your feasts. But what I want you to see now is, I will rebuke your seed. What does that mean? God is going to rebuke your seed. Turn now to chapter 3, because this is the same word in the Hebrew, and yet they translated it two different ways in the King James. And so in chapter 3, look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The same word in the Hebrew. And so here he's going to rebuke their seed in chapter 2, but in chapter 3 he's going to rebuke the devourer. You'll find the word seed, and as in the New Testament, it can mean seed like the sower sows in the ground, or it can mean seed that beget children, and figuratively it means the offspring of a father, his child. But here, inasmuch as it's speaking about rebuking again, he said, I will rebuke your seed. Now, over here, I will rebuke the devourer. I take it that the seed in chapter 2 are the seeds that are sown in the ground. Now, if a devourer is going to eat up the wheat and the barley, but God rebukes them, then what the devourer was about to do, God interposes, intervenes, and he rebukes him, and it is not realized. Now, in like manner, here are seeds that are sown, and nature is taking its course. The seeds start to grow, and God rebukes those seeds, and then they never come to maturity. There is no harvest. And so God has two things that he does. When they sin and will not hearken unto his voice, then all the agriculture of the land is rebuked by God, and there is no harvest. But over in chapter 3, he says, you are under the curse, and that is the specific curse. Please notice, the curse is that he has rebuked their seed. That is one of the general references to curses in Deuteronomy 28. But here, understand the intervention of God into agriculture. Here a seed coming up, and God is looking at the conduct of his people. He said, if you do not take heed to my commands, I will rebuke your seed. Now think of a garden that's growing so beautifully, but suddenly it withers and it never bears fruit. You say, well, that was nature. It may have been. It may not have been. And then think of your field of wheat, and you see a swarm of locusts coming to devour that field. And God rebukes the locusts. And they're blown back by a strong wind, and your crop is saved. You say, another coincidence. This is what God wants you to understand is not a coincidence. He says, I will rebuke your seed, and I will rebuke the devourer of your seed. And he says, you will know. Look at this in chapter 2 again. In chapter 2, it says in verse 4, when he does this, now the agnostic, the atheist, looks at it and he says, it's all nature. It's all chance. But God says, I will rebuke your seed. I will humiliate you. And then look at verse 4. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant may be with Levi. Now that is the important thing. That when something happens, some people look and say, chance. But there are those like Samson, when something happened to him and he was blinded. Others had things to happen to them, and they knew that it was of the Lord. And this is what God says they will experience. When they have this experience, he said, you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you. And so they look at their gardens, and God rebukes the seed, and they do not grow. And they understand, even though they're saying, why isn't my garden growing? Wherein have we robbed thee? God says, when I do this, you're going to know just why things are happening as they are. And then, again, he says, if you will return unto me, I will return unto you. And these are the things that he is going to do. He is going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. That is positive. He is going to rebuke the devourer. That is negative. And then look at verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Nothing of chance here. A crop reaching maturity, having a bountiful harvest, God says, it depends entirely upon me. You think that it depends upon nature, the elements. God says, it depends upon me. And what I do depends upon your conduct, for good or for ill. And so this is all I want to leave with you tonight, and do two things. Read Deuteronomy 28, read the other portions that speak of God's blessing when they obey him, his curse when they disobey him, and then find as many references as you can to God commanding the blessing. You say, God commanding the blessing. Yes, that's something that the old brethren used to love to preach on. And now that I'm among them, I want to tell you about God commanding the blessing. And I've hinted at it, and so you look up the references to the curse, to the blessing, and God commanding the blessing. And then we'll be well prepared to enter into it in detail next week. Let's pray. Now, Father, we confess that so many things happen in our lives, and we have wondered if your hand was in it. We are thankful that if we are in communion with thee, we can see thy hand or the absence of thy hand. And so give us that discernment, our Father. Let us, as John on the seashore, seeing the Savior, he being in the boat, said, it is the Lord. Our Father, let us be able to detect thy hand in our lives. Bless these thoughts to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.